Terry Looks From Outdoors is brought to you in part by Jack's Outdoor Gear. I'll tell you something that I never used to think about Jack's Outdoor Gear for until I started working with them, is that grilling. They have an entire department in their outdoor gear stores on grilling, everything you need. If you're getting ready for your spring grilling season, get out there and check out Jack's Outdoor Gear. Let's go right to the phones. And joining us from Colorado Parks and Wildlife is Robert Walters. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Terry.
Isn't it a beautiful day?
Oh, it sure is a beautiful day. I'm looking out my window right now just thinking about getting out on the water.
Well, and we were just talking to Jim Hawkins about boating safety, but there's some other things people need to know. And you're right. Whatever kind of people, whatever watercraft you operate, people are going to be, it's going to be just a matter of days. And we're going to see boats launching and people out there and fishing and boating and just having fun. But when they do that, we have an inspection process in Colorado because we're trying to avoid the influx of aquatic nuisance or invasive species. But before we even get into some of that, we have some really good news on that front, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely, we do. As of January 1st of this past season, we are considered completely free of zebra and quagga mussels here in the state of Colorado. So as I'm sure you're aware, back in 2017, Green Mountain Reservoir up near Kremling had tested positive for the veliger or the larval life stage of the quagga mussel. But over the past 3 years, Parks and Wildlife, as well as the Bureau of Reclamation, has done an extensive amount of sampling of that particular reservoir and have found no additional evidence of mussels. So per the regional standard, we have officially delisted Green Mountain Reservoir for the quagga mussel, which makes Colorado completely free of invasive mussels. This is excellent news for us. It makes us the first state in the nation to go from positive to negative, and we certainly attribute that to the fact that we have such an awesome preventative inspection program here in the state.
I mean, you have some statistics about the prevention. How many vehicles were intercepted last year that could have possibly, you know, infected our waters with these mussels, and where did most of them come from?
Yeah, so last year was certainly a record-breaking year for us in many regards. Overall, we inspected 650,000 boats in the 2020 season, which is about a 35% increase over anything we'd ever seen in the past. Through those 650,000 or so inspections, we actually intercepted 100 boats coming into the state of Colorado that did have confirmed zebra or quagga mussel adults on them. If one of those had made it into our waters, there is the potential they could have started up a new population. So it's awesome that we're out there and making sure those don't get into the waters of our state. And the majority of those boats came in from Lake Powell. There's been a significant increase in the amount of mussels over there at Lake Powell in the last several years. And of course, Colorado boaters love to go out there to Lake Powell. It's a beautiful location with nice warm water. But unfortunately, they are bringing quite a few of those invasive quagga mussels back when they return.
And we kind of have a double-edged sword in Colorado. One is because no water actually flows into Colorado. We're the headwaters for a number of drainages. And so we don't, but if we protect through these inspections, we're less likely to get infected. But we also, if we would get infected, we could greatly spread these downstream from us. So we have a responsibility to our neighbors also. And we're still seeing a spread of the mussels. And of course, there's other species. There's vegetation growth, and we still have some of that in Colorado. But when I pull up to a lake, what can I expect? What is the inspection process?
Yeah, so the inspection process, you're going to pull up there to the inspection station. The inspectors are going to ask you a couple of questions, particularly about the boating history for your watercraft, just trying to determine the level of risk that your boat might pose in terms of introducing one of these invasive species. Then we'll ask you some questions about live aquatic bait, and then they'll start up with their inspection. So when they're inspecting the boat, we have a very particular process in which we do that inspection. We start by inspecting the hull or the exterior of the boat. Then we check the engine to make sure there's nothing attached and that there's no residual water trapped inside of the cooling system. Then we'll actually get up and inside of the boat and check in all of your interior compartments and all the equipment that may have come in contact contact with the water. And if there is any water in any of those locations, then we will either drain that out, or if there's too much water, then we will go through our decontamination process. In terms of our decontaminations, there's no soaps, bleaches, chemicals, anything like that that's used that might damage your boat. We are strictly using hot water to reduce the biological risk. So when we're doing those inspections, what we're really trying to ensure is that your boat is clean, drained, and dry, which means that there's no mud, no water, no plants, and no animals. If we can confirm that your boat is clean, drained, and dry, then you will be free to launch.
And a lot of people wonder, if we're free of all these invasive, if it's work, why do we have to keep doing it? But folks, I can tell you around the country, waters have closed to recreation because of this. And Colorado is a great example of very little of the water you recreate on is owned or controlled by Parks and Wildlife or even the state. It's owned by water providers. And if they think these mussels could damage their infrastructure, they're going to close the waters to that. So we have to be vigilant. In fact, we have lost some waters to this, haven't we?
So there are certainly a couple waters in the state that are no longer allowing motorized boating, just due to the increased risk of the potential of zebra or quagga mussels to be introduced. So as you said, you know, the inspectors are out there. Some people view this as a slight inconvenience, but really we should keep in mind that they are actually what is allowing you to continue to recreate on these waters. And they're out there to protect them, to make sure that we can continue to recreate far into the future.
Now, I know there's been last year, because of the influx of people, I don't know if you can say influx into the outdoors. Is that right, Robert? I don't know.
I'm not sure, Terry.
I think you told me earlier in the week you inspected about 650,000 inspections. Are there a need for volunteers or people or ways they could sign up to get jobs?
So we don't typically utilize volunteers for our inspectors, but we do hire a significant amount of inspectors all across the state. So there are certainly opportunities at water bodies all across the great state of Colorado. And the best way for folks to get in tune with those opportunities would be to visit the CPW job page. Right now is a perfect time. We're hiring on a ton of inspectors. So if that's something that interests you, again, I would encourage you to visit CPW's job page.
And the last thing I want to ask you is, what boats, or maybe it's easier to say, what watercraft don't need to be inspected?
So there are 11 watercraft here in the state of Colorado that are considered exempt from our mandatory inspection regulations. These are specifically hand-launched and hand-propelled vessels. Things such as kayaks, canoes, and stand-up paddleboards would fall onto that exempt vessel list. And the reason for that is just that they are typically not out on the water long. They don't have a lot of water holding capacity. So they have a reduced risk of transporting these invasive species. But if you have one of those exempt vessels and you decide to add a propulsion system, something like a gas or an electric motor, or if you are launching it from a trailer that comes in contact with the water, then that vessel would no longer be considered exempt and would have to go through our mandatory inspection process.
Robert, we're out of time, but hopefully people will have listened to this. They understand. We got a lot of new people out there. Jim Hawkins told us there's a new boating regulation pamphlet out, both online and at the license places. So, you know, get one of those and read it. And what's your last comment to people who are just chomping at the bit to get out boating this year?
Yeah, the best thing you can do to make sure that your first launch for the season is as quick and painless as possible is just, again, to make sure that your boat is clean, drained, and dry, and that will really expedite that inspection process. And as I know Jim said, make sure you bring your life jacket when you get out there and hit the water.
Without question, especially in this cold water. Robert, thanks for joining us, and thanks for coming on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, and I hope we help educate a lot of people on what's going on.
Thank you for the opportunity, Terry. Have a great day.
You bet. Robert Walters, great. You know, we're going to switch gears up again a little bit, next segment. And in fact, the next two or three segments, we're going to talk fishing and hunting, and we're going to give you some tips on getting out there. All that and more coming up on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, presented by Jack's Outdoor Gear on 104.3 The Fan.